At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make some noise. It's Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl. It's like beer and brats, a perfect combination.
You know the deal.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Making Monsters. We are continuing on with some of the off-season stuff, but also our previews for the games that the Bears are playing through the preseason. We've now talked to Houston, obviously, Buffalo. Now we're on to the Bengals. And some big news out of the Bears-Bengals joint practices this last week, or this last day, I guess, is where the most of the content has kind of come from. But we're joined today with Jeremy Rau. He is a reporter for the Bengals with Fox 19 up in Cincinnati. So, Jeremy, thanks for hopping on with me.
Glad to do it. It's been a wild couple of days, and certainly a lot of the reaction around how the Bears looked against the Bengals I've been surprised by, but also understand a bit, because I know Bears fans have been damaged for a few decades and are looking for some hope. And Bengals fans can somewhat resonate with that in a different way. So I do get it in the same light.
Yeah, we'll obviously get to that. We'll get to some of your comments on Caleb Williams and the Bears in general. But I do want to start with the Bengals, because Bears facing the Bengals this weekend, not expecting the starters to play for Cincinnati, other than maybe some battles you have going on, which we'll talk about that. The Bears are starting their starters. I honestly feel, Jeremy, it might just be because they want to get Caleb. This is Caleb's technically debut at Soldier Field. So obviously the Hall of Fame game being not in Chicago, and then they played on the road against Buffalo. So that I think they might want to just be like, this is what it feels like to be at Soldier Field for Caleb. So we'll see how long they're actually in there. But let's start with, I think, one of the hotter topics for the Bengals this offseason, and that's Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best, if not the best, wide receivers in the league right now. And there's a little bit of turmoil when it comes to his contract and what's going on. So what's the latest with that?
So the latest with Ja'Marr Chase right now is that he's still doing his contract hold-in. He's under contract this season and next season, which would be his fifth, but he is eligible to get paid, which I'm sure everyone is aware of. And so he has been holding in. What that means is, if you don't understand or don't follow the NFL very closely, he is around the Bengals facility. He's at practice. He's in meetings. He is basically engaged and involved in everything except practicing. Now, there have been at least one, maybe two practices where Ja'Marr Chase didn't show up, and there was concern around that in the past week or so that happened. Then it became a little bit more of a national story on that day that Ja'Marr wasn't at practice. At the joint practice, Bears and Bengals, Ja'Marr made the trip to Chicago. He was actually physically there. He's very involved, very engaged. But simply, until things get worked out, or in my opinion, until it's go time for the season, Ja'Marr is not going to practice. If you had to put my feet to the fire on Ja'Marr Chase and what's going to happen next, I would assume that once we get inside those 2 weeks leading up to the season kickoff, after the preseason, the final Thursday night game for the Bengals at least, I think that is when we're going to see Ja'Marr Chase finally say, okay, I'm here, I'm practicing, yeah, I want to play, I want to win. So there's a decent amount of stress around it locally in Cincinnati, and even nationally it's been talked about a lot. But I do believe, even if Ja'Marr Chase doesn't get paid, and I'm not sure he will before this season starts, he will practice, I believe, and be ready by week one.
Yeah, it's interesting to follow along. Just some of the wide receivers that have been paid this offseason, including DJ Moore in Chicago. And then you have the ones who are kind of waiting. The Brandon Ayuk is probably the most toxic one right now that we can talk about. But Ja'Marr Chase, I do feel like, Jeremy, is probably one of the players that you're not totally concerned at if he's not at practice every day. The connection that him and Joe Burrow have been able to make is I mean, off the charts. So I don't think there's too much of a high concern, but I know fans start to panic a little bit if there's ever any controversy when it comes to contract and money.
It would take a lot, Taylor, a lot for Ja'Marr Chase not to play with his best buddy, Joe Burrow. All money aside, and Ja'Marr Chase has been very vocal that once Justin Jefferson gets paid, he wants to see his bag.
Yep.
And then Jamar's competitive. He wants a bigger bag than Justin Jefferson. And so Justin, in a lot of ways, set the market. We know that with the Vikings. And you can go back to 2019 at LSU and what Justin Jefferson and Jamar and Joe Burrow, what they were. They're still competitive amongst each other. But there, it would take a lot for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase not to be on the field together week one, no matter what happens with Jamar's contract. And Ja'Marr Chase is a game changer for this team. We know Joe Burrow obviously is everything. The franchise runs around number nine, as everyone likes to tell us inside the locker room. It does in Cincinnati. But Ja'Marr Chase is right there behind Joe Burrow. And as we've seen during camp, as we've seen in the Bengals and Bears joint practice, against a good defense, you're reminded of just how different the Bengals offense is without Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I want to move on to another part of the offense. And Joe Burrow obviously is the focal point. We'll get to him also. But the run game, the loss of Joe Mixon, addition of Zach Moss, what are kind of the expectations of how quickly that can start flowing and get the ball moving on the ground at least?
It's going to look different for sure. You know, was Joe Mixon was the bell cow in a lot of ways for the Bengals. He wasn't always a three down back because he had some issues with blocking that really showed up in the last couple of years a lot more, where it looked like Joe Mixon was trying to protect his body and not block as much, and that became kind of a thing. But Joe Mixon was a pretty solid running back for the Bengals, and he was their go-to guy, no doubt. And now it looks different with Zach Moss, who came in this last offseason, and Chase Brown as well, who the Bengals drafted last year. So he's coming into his second year. They love the speed that Chase Brown has and what he brings. And a lot of that just, man, he packs a punch when he has the ball in his hands, gets off the line quick. He can catch. He's grown with that even in the last year. And then Zach Moss comes in and kind of adds that 1-2 punch to who Chase Brown is expected to be. Zach Taylor, the Bengals head coach, still has not told us who is going to be that lead guy. But the way we've seen it all preseason so far is it looks like it's going to be very 50-50. It's going to be quite a shared thing in the backfield. But I do think they want to use both Zach Moss and Chase Brown a lot more in the screen game, a lot more in just quick little hits, little dump downs, and see them getting out in space in a lot of different ways. But we have yet to know exactly what it's going to look like. The only thing I can tell you is dynamic is the word. They feel like their run game is a lot more dynamic than it was with Joe Mixon back there.
That'll definitely be fascinating to watch because we've seen how different teams have relied on their run game a little bit differently. And obviously you don't have to when you have a Joe Burrow, but it definitely opens up more opportunities for Joe if people are a little scared of the run game also and what they can do in the dual side of things. The offensive line, I think this has been something that you guys probably in Cincinnati have been talking about a ton for since Joe Burrow's got there. And it was a criticism for the first couple years of, you know, Joe gets hurt and then they feel like everybody was kind of like, how do you not address the offensive line in the way you need to? But now since then, obviously Trent Brown, you add Trent Brown, you add Orlando Brown last year, drafting him, Amarius Mims this season. So what is the offensive line looking like and how they've kind of started to build something solid in front of Joe Burrow?
They really like where the offensive line is as far as how it's set up going into camp, at least. It has changed recently a little bit with some injuries, but it could not have been set up better in Joe Burrow's career, and that is a fact. I mean, you can go back to when the Bengals made the Super Bowl in the 2021 season, and you almost have to take a double take looking at the stats from the game against the Titans on the road when they won there in Nashville, which helped them advance to the AFC title game against Kansas City. Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times in that game, and they still find a way to win that game. 9 times in one game is absurd. Yeah. And that was just a microcosm of what that season was for Joe Burrow. It got a little better last year, a couple of years ago, in 2022. Now, late in the season, injuries played a factor in that, before the Bengals could get back at the Super Bowl and lost to the Chiefs in the AFC title. Last year's a wash, but this year it finally feels like the Bengals have what they want from the left side with Orlando Brown, who came from the Chiefs, like you talked about, all the way across. You got Ted Karras at center, who's a captain they love. They have Alex Kapp at right guard, and now they're trying to finally lock down right tackle. I skipped over Cordell Volson, the left guard, has been good as well, but at right tackle, that's the biggest part of this puzzle. Amarius Mims, they draft in the first round. They get Trent Brown in the offseason. These massive bodies, 6'8", let's say around 350 on the left side, on the right side. And the question all along has been, who's going to be the starting right tackle? Because that was the last piece. Was it going to be Amarius Mims, the first rounder, or Trent Brown? Trent Brown has been dealing with some back stiffness, some tightness. Amarius Mims has been phenomenal. And then we find out Amarius Mims has a pec strain and is going to be out for at least a little while. Trent Brown steps in, and he does the joint practice with the Bears, and then he steps out halfway through the practice because he's got that lower back stiffness again. And that's a thing that we don't know the answer to right now, what it's going to feel like for him come week one. So here comes third stringer Cody Ford, and now Bengals fans are starting to get in their feels just a little bit, starting to stress a little bit, because this has been the problem in Joe Burrow's career is, can this offensive line hold up and be healthy? The Bengals had a great plan for the final piece for the right side. And now Amarius Mims is banged up. Trent Brown is a little banged up. And now there's a giant question mark. So I think they feel good about it as far as the season goes, if Amarius Mims gets back and is healthy, or Trent Brown. But right now, they're in a good spot, but it's not as great as they wanted it to be.
Yeah, believe me, Bears fans can feel that. I think the one thing that we can connect to the most is offensive line woes the last few seasons. When it comes to injuries, when it also just comes to maybe some guys you were relying on stepping up and not really getting to where they need to do. A Tevin Jenkins here in Chicago, one of the best guards in the league if he can stay on the football field. But unfortunately, he hasn't, not one season he's been in Chicago. So that's something that obviously we can relate to. And then the going back to the sacks, there was two seasons ago, I think, that Justin Fields got sacked nine times in a game against the Browns, 15 QB hits in that game. And it was, I was like, no quarterback can function when they are getting hit that many times. But speaking of that, because obviously some of this, the offensive line problems in Cincinnati have led to injuries with Joe Burrow too. And so we've seen a couple season ending injuries from him. Is that a talking point at all in Cincinnati of a concern of can Joe stay healthy?
It's always a talking point. I think the biggest hurdle, honestly, this is going to sound really weird. The biggest hurdle for Joe Burrow was getting through the first couple of days of camp, because last year it was day two of camp, one of the last couple of plays where Joe Burrow had the calf injury. He has not had a normal training camp yet, because if you go back to when he was drafted in 2020, it was COVID. So training camp was different then, and injuries have played a factor really every other year for him in one way or another, whether it's the appendectomy or it's a calf strain or it's coming off the knee injury from his rookie year. So it was those first couple of days. There was a lot of angst around Cincinnati. Can Joe Burrow just roll out, throw a pass, and be fine? And it's been his most successful training camp of his career. Now, coming off the wrist injury, we see him at times kind of still working through that with his wrist. He's, you know, throws the ball and he's kind of doing this, and he's been working through that, but for the most part, it's looked really good, and he's been healthy in camp. The biggest thing for me, as far as Joe Burrow's health goes going forward, is can he play just a little smarter when it comes time to scrambling, to making those superhuman plays that we've seen him make off platform, trying to get away from a sack, and then running head first. Can he get down and slide early and not make some of those risky plays as much? I don't know if the Joe Burrow I know can shift from going full speed ahead to kind of that half speed, right? So I don't know if we're going to see, can Joe Burrow drive in second gear at times if he needs to? I think that remains to be seen, but I do feel like that he has much more awareness going into where his body is right now, what he needs to do to protect it, at least in camp, because they've got a whole new plan for him of like 2 days on, 1 day off. All of that has been handled a lot better than it ever has been since he came to Cincinnati.
That is good. And I think that, I'll be honest, Joe Burrow is probably one my favorite not Bears quarterback, just because I think that I've loved his personality since he's came in the league. I loved his personality at LSU. I just feel like he kind of has that swagger to him, but also can stay calm, cool, and collected when he needs to. I'm a big Joe Burrow fan, so I want to see another Joe Burrow year where we're talking about the games that we have in the past where you're like, man, he's so much fun to watch. And I want to switch over to the defense in a second, but I do have a quick question, because we talked about Ja'Marr Chase and his holdout. The Bengals also tagged T. Higgins this year. When it comes to the fan base, is there frustration? Do you sense any frustration that they haven't paid Ja'Marr or T yet?
there's a bit of an understanding. You have to understand, if you know Mike Brown, who runs everything still for the Bengals, even though a lot of his family is doing a lot of the other inner workings, it comes down to Mike Brown. And at the end of the day, if you see Mike Brown in person, you might be surprised, because a lot of the times he's wearing khakis that look like they were bought from JCPenney on the sale rack, and Reeboks from 1987. This is just the way, look, and it sounds like a shot, but this is just the way Mike Brown lives. He likes to save pennies whenever and however he can. Now, we've seen in recent years, he has been more willing to spend with Joe Burrow at the helm than ever before, as the guy who makes all the decisions for the Bengals as the team president. But all that being said, even though Bengals fans kind of get that and know that, there has been frustration around the fan base of, okay, you're going to tag T. Higgins and not pay him. You probably won't pay him after this year. This is probably it for T. Higgins. Can't you find a way to get Ja'Marr Chase done now? Can't we get this done before this season and not have to let this drag out one more year with the T. Higgins questions that will come, even though almost everyone knows T. Higgins is likely done here after the franchise tag year? Can you get Ja'Marr done now to at least satisfy the fan base a little bit? Because when you have two star wide receivers who have been a big part of the engine for this franchise, and neither one of them are settled long term, it's very unsettling for a fan base. So I think right now, I think the word I would use is unsettled. I think fans understand how this is going to work because they know the Bengals, they know Mike Brown, but right now fans are a bit unsettled.
Yeah, because by the way, it's only going to get more expensive. In 6 months, the wide receiver market is going to be even higher than what it is. That's why Bears fans were ecstatic that they locked in DJ Moore right now, because, you know, at the end of this season, if he has another 1,400 yard season, those numbers are going to look even crazier. But there's a lot of things that these owners have to think about. And we just yell, you know, sign the player, pay the player. It's not that easy. There's a lot of things that go into it. So sometimes I even have to take a step back myself and be like, okay, just relax a little bit. They'll happen. But I think a large part, Jeremy, of creating an organization in general that is going to be successful is being able to not only draft guys and find that talent in the draft, but being able to develop and then keep them. And one of the things that has been the biggest weakness for the Bears is they have, I want to say, it's the second most second year contracts signed in the last like 15 years. And some of that's because they've drafted badly. Some of that's just because they, at the end, they're so bad financially that they can't figure out a way to keep these guys, or they're just in a place to restart all over again that we've done a million times. But defensively, real quick, I do want to get to the Bears. So defensively, one of the guys you guys drafted this year, I actually am a big fan of, Chris Jenkins. I wanted the Jags to actually sign him. I was very vocal about the Jags going to get Chris Jenkins. But how has he looked so far in camp? I know he's a little bit farther down the depth chart right now, but you guys have some monsters of Trey Hendrickson on that. We saw the video going viral of him kind of just rolling over Cole Kmet at practice too, but which also, don't let your tight end block Trey Hendrickson, probably not the best idea. But anyways, your defensive line in general, how is that looking so far? And how has Chris Jenkins looked this early in camp?
Yeah, so I answer big picture first. The Bengals are excited about Trey Hendrickson and what he brings. And he, you know, Trey views himself as very underrated and kind of tried to do a demand a trade offseason thing to get more money after he just signed an extension last year, because I think he realized how much he was worth. That wasn't going to work because he had already signed about a year ago. And it's like, it's too late, Trey, to play that card. So Trey's happy. He's going to play. He's good. Sam Hubbard's been a bit banged up right now throughout camp. So there's some concern about that, but I think he's going to be okay come regular season. They needed some help because DJ Reader, you know, moves on. They don't sign him. DJ Reader was such a core piece of that interior defensive line. They bring in Sheldon Rankin. So they have some other ways they're trying to kind of piece that up, shore that up, with BJ Hill also coming back as well, who's been a solid player for them. But as you pointed out, they're trying to add good depth in the D-line because Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson are not getting any younger. They've been great. Trey's been phenomenal. He's played at a career level here in Cincinnati the last couple of years, but they're not getting any younger. So they do bring in some depth. They brought in a guy like Chris Jenkins out of Michigan, who does the, what is it called, the Turkish lift, where he gets down on the ground, and it went viral of like him holding the dumbbell and standing up, and he's done it a million different ways. And we taught him about that. And I said, Chris, like, I need to learn this Turkish lift. So I've done it with a 10 pounder, which is not a big deal. I think he has 200 pounds on a dumbbell or something, but he's an incredible human. I mean, that at the very base of what Chris Jenkins brings to the Bengals, he's an incredible human. He is so full of joy and life and smiles, and he just loves to be around football and be around other guys every single day. He'll talk to you for 10, 15, 20 minutes if you're at his locker. All those things are great things about Chris Jenkins, and he just wants to win and have an impact. Now, how soon will that impact be? I can't say yet. I will just tell you, honestly, he's been a lot more quiet already in camp, a lot more so than I thought he would be. We haven't seen a lot from him yet. Not a lot of promise early on, but again, it's early in his rookie year. Sometimes it takes time to get going. And for the first time in the joint practice against the Bears, I started to see some spark from Chris Jenkins in one of those guys, because they need rotational guys there with BJ Hill and Sheldon Rankins on the interior. And Chris Jenkins is one of those guys they believe can be that. I just don't think we've seen that level yet where I can say he's going to be in that rotation early in the season. It just might take some time still.
Yeah, it does. We saw a guy, the Bears drafted a guy, Javon Dexter, last year, and Javon had to play right away. It's just the kind of way that things shook out in Chicago, but it took a little bit. It was 4 or 5 weeks where we were kind of like, oh, this isn't good. By the end of the season, Javon Dexter looked like he had been in the league for a couple years already and looked really comfortable. I don't know how much you got to see him while you were at camp, but he just feels like he's already becoming a pro's pro, and it's really fun. But to that point, for Bengals fans, I would say relax a little bit, because it does take some time to kind of adjust to the NFL and some of the guys that you're surrounded. I mean, you're going up against the best of the best, obviously, and the biggest of the big. The trenches are massive. It's just mountains of men at that point. But I want to talk a little bit before we switch to the Bears about the secondary in Cincinnati, because I think that Joe Burrow got pretty familiar with the Bears secondary yesterday, and we'll talk about that. But I think it's also an underrated talking point a lot of times when you are looking at teams, because you're always talking about the quarterback and the wide receivers and their pass rushers and things like that. But the secondary and how quick and fast and just some huge men also on the secondary that you're seeing now in the NFL. Tell us a little bit about that and what the Bengals look like right now in that area.
So the Bengals defense last year, if you were paying attention, or if you weren't, you might have heard this somewhere, they were one of the worst defenses in the NFL under a guy in Lou Anarumo, who has been this magician at tricking offenses and finding ways to get takeaways that lead the Bengals to victory in somehow, some way, some fashion. It has worked. It has worked so much so that Lou Anarumo, for a couple of years in a row, was up for head coaching gigs, didn't get them, but he was one of those guys that we thought was going to leave Cincinnati. Last year, a lot of youth was leaned on in Cincinnati, a lot more than Lou Anarumo likes to lean on, and it was a disaster for this team after they let Von Bell go to the Panthers a couple of years ago. So what's the quick fix? Well, the word is explosives. Anywhere in the NFL, if you're giving up explosives, you're going to have a bad year on defense. That was the Bengals last year. So how do you limit explosives? Communication, know-how, those are two of the things they knew they needed to have back. So it started with this.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Von Bell, not that he was the first one to come here, but it was the key piece, getting Von Bell, a veteran safety, back here, a guy that just knows the system, that understands where guys need to be, the right place, right time, and just knows ball and is obsessed with reading offenses. So much so that Zach Taylor, the Bengals head coach, told us this camp that a lot of times he said, I like to sit back behind Von and listen to him right before the ball is snapped, and then ask him about what he saw, what he's seeing, what he's learning, what he's reading, all that. Von Bell is like, he is the guy they wanted back on defense. Getting older, not sure he's going to start all season long, but he's been a key part of that defense. For communication, add in Geno Stone, who ironically intercepted Joe Burrow earlier in the season last year for the Ravens in the end zone. And Joe Burrow saw that Geno Stone figured him out and thought, let's get Geno here. Let's do that, right? You're going to pick me off? Come play for us. So they got Geno Stone and Von Bell back there, which has been really good. And then at
Didn't Geno Stone, I want to say he led the league or was at the top of the league in interceptions last year. He's really good at tracking the ball down.
Ball hawk. He was up there, no doubt. So they love having Geno and Von. They didn't have that last year. So that is a major upgrade just for starters. Then you have Cam Taylor-Britt as a starting corner, who had four interceptions last year before he got injured. A lot of promise for him. On the other side, you look at the other side of the ball there, you're looking at it's either Dax Hill, who moved from safety to corner. He was a first-round pick who didn't work out really, got a lot of speed, or DJ Turner out of Michigan also, who also played a lot last year as well. So Dax Hill and DJ are battling for that other spot. Mike Hilton, who is getting up there in years, I think he's 30 now, is still their slot corner, who's been great. They have some other things kind of in the mix, but just right off the jump there, that is your blueprint for the Bengals DBs and how it's going to look. But again, it is stopping those explosives, becoming that team again who creates turnovers in timely ways, and they feel like they're a lot better than last year.
Yeah, and I think those big chunk plays are what kills a lot of teams. So I feel like that's something we did see in Cincinnati last year where you were like, okay, well, the secondary is probably not going to stop these big deep balls, chunk plays. So Joe Burrow is going to have to score a million points to win. And you don't want to put that on your quarterback. All right, let's switch over to the good stuff, Jeremy, because I think a lot of reasons, like you said, your video went pretty viral on Bears Twitter. And I'll give you a little backstory of maybe – why your one little piece went super crazy and people loved it. A couple years ago when the Bears were hosting Miami for their joint practices, all of the reporters leaving the camp were tweeting about, we're really glad we have Tua. Like, we're comfortable in the quarterback we have. It just isn't there with Justin Fields. He looks like he has no anticipation. He's taking a ton of sacks. He's doing this and this and this. You come out and you're saying all of these great things about Caleb Williams and how good he looks already in camp. So let's start there. What did you see from Caleb Williams and just these joint practices that you guys have had the last few days?
So let me give you some context to start. And had I said this to start the video, it would have probably gotten a different reaction. but the context is this. I will be brutally honest with you, Bears fans. I did not expect a lot out of Caleb Williams coming into Chicago. The main reason is a lot of the stuff that I saw from him in college told me he wasn't going to be a great leader. Things that he did around the media and a lot of the other things that we just saw reported throughout his college career, specifically in his last season where it wasn't going so well. And so I had concern about whether or not Caleb Williams could be a good franchise quarterback, the kind of guy you want to attach your wagon to, right? I've seen it look pretty good so far from afar watching Caleb Williams. I've thought he looks good. I've watched Hard Knocks a little bit. I wanted to see it in person. Because I went from a doubter to a skeptical believer to watching the joint practice to becoming a full-fledged believer in Caleb Williams. So much so that I told my 9-year-old son, who was a fantasy football draft coming up, I said, hey, remember I told you don't draft any rookie quarterbacks? I said, Caleb Williams is going to do some things, man, even if it's your backup. So what I saw from Caleb Williams was just, I loved the swagger. It reminded me a little bit of Joe Burrow, which, by the way, Joe Burrow told us that he hosted Caleb Williams on a college visit, and those two go way back kind of, and have hung out here and there and talked, which is kind of a cool thing. But it's that head bobbing kind of just mood, man. Like it's around him at all times. You can see some rookie quarterbacks are just trying to play the parts of a rookie quarterback, trying to look like they belong. Caleb Williams is just doing his thing. He's out there bobbing his head in between snaps. Yeah. He looks like he's got that swagger about him, that confidence. I loved how even when he was rushed a few times, which he got tapped, he got sacked a couple of times in practice, but he's quick to get out and just go and kind of knows where to go. He doesn't seem confused. He doesn't seem discombobulated by the whole thing and what he's looking at and seeing. And not just that, he hits Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and even Rome at times on some great windows, some great passes, a couple of touchdown passes. Keenan Allen and DJ Moore were looking really good against the Bengals' upgraded defense. I don't know how good the Bengals' defense is going to be yet. We think it's going to be better. But I would just say that Caleb Williams looked really good. And the last thing I'll add on this is, and the reason why I did that video is because there's a lot of chatter about, okay, it was a really rainy day for the Bengals' offense. You know, tough for them to really get things going, tough to throw the ball in those conditions. Caleb Williams didn't have sunshine on his side of the field. It wasn't like, this is a rainy field and this is the sunny field. Both fields had rain.
Yeah.
Consistent rain, downpouring at times, and it did not impact Caleb Williams whatsoever. He threw an interception in 7-on-7 Jermaine Pratt to start things off. You know, you're going to have that. But even if Caleb Williams goes out and has a season where, let's just say, it's 30 touchdown passes and 13 picks, that won't matter a ton as a rookie, because I think he is going to make a lot of plays. Mistakes are going to happen. But what I saw was a quarterback who looked ready for the NFL, and a quarterback with that wide receiver trio, a quarterback who looked like he was able to use them, knew how to get the ball to them, and was not overwhelmed in a practice like that. Yeah, I was over the moon impressed.
You're making me emotional. We had the most toxic offseason ever, Jeremy, when it came to, I mean, it was fully split down the middle of keep Justin. If you want to get rid of Justin, then you're the problem. No, we need to draft Caleb. There were so many just arguments and fights. And I was very much like, I was pro Justin. I felt like Justin deserved another chance, but I also was realized that the Bears were in a very rare position. Like the chances of you get this first overall pick, and it wasn't because you were bad. It wasn't because you absolutely sucked and you got the first overall pick. It was because your GM fleeced the Panthers, and now you have that. You're staring at this guy that could be a generational quarterback that people talk about. So I was kind of one of the ones that was like, I trust Ryan Poles. I think he's done a fantastic job the last few years of rebuilding what Ryan Pace and has kind of destroyed. And so I was very much understanding of whatever Ryan Poles thinks is best, but it was, we were hearing that chatter of what you talked about in the beginning of that conversation of, you know, he's the leadership and, you know, maybe some of his team gave up on him in certain moments, and he cried to his mom in the stands, and he walked away from a handshake and all of this stuff. And I'll tell you, I haven't seen one single glimpse of that since he's been in Chicago. And obviously losing and winning changes things, that everyone is looking at him right now and buying his jerseys and putting him on this pedestal. So I hope that does continue if things don't go maybe the way he wants them to. But so far from what I've seen, he's been incredible. The team's rallied around him very quickly. As one of the most mature 22-year-olds I've ever kind of watched through all of this process, go through every interview that he's been through. And he worked out in here in Jacksonville this whole offseason, and everybody that was working out with him was like, this dude's incredible. I mean, he's just his maturity level on and off the field, and his IQ, his football IQ, what he understands. And you said you watched a little bit of Hard Knocks. There was one point of that where they were mic'd up in the game against the Bills, and he overthrew. Well, Roma Dunze, I guess, was not in the right spot where Caleb wanted him to. And afterwards, he grabs him on the sideline and was like, hey, man, so this is where my head was. This is where I wanted you to be. This is, you know, explaining it just very calmly to Rome. And Rome's like, I got you, man. Like, it won't happen again. And that's just something we haven't had in Chicago, that quarterback who is like vocal enough to not just yell and scream and do whatever, but to go have conversations with his wide receivers and explain the way things were supposed to go. So Bears fans are ecstatic, nervous, cautiously optimistic, all of these things wrapped up into one. And I know Bengals fans know what that feels like.
Yeah, the Bengals have actually had, you know, the Bengals get a bad rap for who they have been as an organization. They never won a championship. They've been to three now, one with Joe Burrow. But before Joe Burrow, there were decent quarterbacks. There were good quarterbacks. You can go from Ken Anderson to Boomer Esiason to even Andy Dalton, who was a very solid quarterback. for this organization and on down the line. But they haven't had someone who was truly able to be a game changer, at least in a long time, like Joe Burrow. And all that skepticism can come with it, all those questions. Now, Joe Burrow came from one of the greatest college football seasons ever at LSU in 2019. But there's still just questions around, can he actually be the guy to take this franchise from here to there to the mountaintop? And then it happens like that. And all the questions you had for years suddenly just go away. And then it becomes, well, when Joe Burrow is healthy, 2 out of 4 years, they make a championship, they make an AFC title and come that close to going back again. So it changes overnight. And people always want to just be the one to either say it's not going to happen, to be the naysayer, or to proclaim it right out of the gates. And I am neither one of those things when it comes to Caleb Williams. I do understand the Bears' history. I do understand I'm a Cincinnati reporter, and I'm thankful that people loved it, and that's great. But I'm just telling you what I saw from that day, and I'm telling you now what I think is possibly going to happen with him. I think he's going to be one of those quarterbacks that makes a lot of plays this year. He has a great trio of wide receivers, like you talked about already. We've talked about it's set up really well for him. And the biggest thing is Justin Fields. Look, I'm a Buckeye fan. So Justin Fields was phenomenal in college, right? Like, he was so great, such a playmaker, explosive arm. But the one thing that has always baffled me, Allen Robinson was maybe his best wide receiver. He didn't have Keenan Allen. He didn't have Roman Dunze. He didn't have DJ Moore. But Justin Fields struggled to have that awareness. It was always like, and it's still that way in Pittsburgh now. We've seen it in the preseason. It's he doesn't know what's coming behind him. I never thought his awareness would struggle so much in the NFL. That's the biggest thing for a rookie, because it comes so much faster. Those guys are coming off the edge at light speed compared to college, it seems like. Can you adjust to that? And then when it does happen, can you avoid the mistakes? Those are all the questions that are still going to be there for Caleb Williams, but he looks the part, and that's at least half the battle.
Yeah, I want to switch over to the defensive side before I let you go. Obviously, it's 3 picks, I believe, off of Joe Burrow and the practice that you were kind of talking about in that video. I want to say you broke them down, or I saw somebody break them down, and one of them was a tipped pass that ended up getting intercepted. I think one was a miscue. Another one, I can't remember the third, but tell us a little bit about what you've seen from this Bears secondary and this Bears defense in this short time too, because the secondary is something we're very high on. Jalen Johnson gets paid this offseason. You have some younger guys in Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson, Jaquan Brisker, but all of them the last couple seasons have progressively gotten better. So it's one of the areas that we're very confident in. They add Kevin Byard, who had a great season in Philly and has this career that we've talked about a lot, not as great of a season last year, but people expect him to kind of return to what he was because Philly's secondary wasn't great. What did you see out of that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was just right place, right time. I will say there was one or two of them that I thought they read Joe Burrow really well, and I can't remember exactly who it was and when. I know Kevin Byard had a pick, obviously, and he's got that veteran savvy and knowledge and was in the right place at the right time. From what I saw, one of them was Joe Burrow overthrew Trenton Irwin just a little bit. He tipped it up. You know, Bears pick it off. That's the thing, though. It's like you've got to be able to have those plays. And even in the rain, are you a defense that's going to be about that or not? The Bengals defense has been, outside of last year and all their struggles, pretty good at creating turnovers and not just doing it, like doing it in the red zone almost consistently, finding ways to take the ball away. So can you be that kind of a defense who doesn't just come close but grabs the ball out of the air and does get it? And so like that to me is half of what I saw in the joint practice, is just being there, being able to bring the ball down to read Joe Burrow right, whatever it was. You know, one time he overthrew Trenton Irwin, it was tipped, it was picked off. Another time it was, I believe a receiver went the wrong way. Joe Burrow just threw it over the middle. No one was there, it was picked off. Another time, towards the boundary on the sideline, it was just Drew Sample for the Bengals slipped, but I still think that it would have been picked off either way because it was just read so well. I mean, ready and waiting and there to take it, got up, ran it in for a pick six, basically. Another time a ball was a little behind, tipped, almost picked off again, and then one other time. So it really was almost 5 interceptions. And so rain or not, no matter what you say about the day, Joe Burrow is considered to be one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL. If you create 3 turnovers against Joe Burrow, however it happens, and really almost get 4 or 5 in a single joint practice, that's something to be pretty happy about. And I think that speaks a lot to where this Bears defense is right now. Again, it's why I felt like they needed some shout out in the video I did, because Joe Burrow's had some bad games in his career, whether it's health related or it's just he feels like he's not ready, whatever it might be. He had an opener against Pittsburgh a couple of years ago where he had 5 turnovers in the game. But it's not characteristic of him and who he is. So if you get Joe Burrow, if you get one of the good ones in the game, you can hang your hat.
Right.
Yeah. So you can hang your hat on that. So if you get 3-1 practice, I was very impressed by them.
Yeah, and that's what this is, that time of year where you try not to get too excited for certain things because it is, you know, joint practices and preseasons. But the way, you know, when you're looking at the Bears, it's a Texans team who is a playoff team, a Bills team, a playoff team, and a Bengals team who we've talked about, you know, Joe Burrow and all the weapons they have. So it's something that, like you said, that you have to take. There are things you can take out of this that can be positive and you can be excited. I think Bears fans feel like they're too scared to get excited sometimes because of the things that have happened in recent years. But final couple before I let you go. So let's just talk about in general the AFC North, because I feel like when we talk about that division, terrifying when you look at it from top to bottom almost. I mean, you have a Lamar Jackson and this Ravens team who just had one of his best seasons of his entire career last year. And then obviously you're looking for a healthy Joe Burrow and a revamped defense in Cincinnati. And you still have Jamar and T for this season together. And then you go to even Pittsburgh, and I get it. There's the Russell Wilson, Justin Fields kind of going back and forth of their battle that's happening, but it's Mike Tomlin who just doesn't not go above 500. Whatever happens, he finds a way to do it. And then Cleveland, I mean, Cleveland has probably one of the better defenses in the league. You still haven't really seen Deshaun Watson be old school Deshaun Watson, but they do have a lot of weapons around him to at least make it work. I mean, they could make it work with Joe Flacco. So thoughts on the AFC North and kind of how you guys are feeling with that.
Look, HBO Hard Knocks had a choice to pick one division of football to feature late in the season, and they picked the AFC North. I think that speaks to how staunch a division it is, how great the NFL thinks it's going to be again. And considering what it was last year, the Bengals finished last in the division. They went 9-8. They finished last in the division. They missed the playoffs. Joe Burrow was injured for about half the season. So that all factors in. But I don't think there's expected to be a lot of change. You know, the Steelers' way has been be just good enough. A lot of Steelers fans will tell you they don't like it. Some others will say that they like it that way because they're always in the fight. They're always in contention, at least in the playoffs. So I think Steelers are going to be good again, regardless of whether or not it's Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. I think they're still going to be a team to be reckoned with that looks like a 9-8, 10-7 kind of team. As far as the Browns go, you know, I it's funny because I talked to some people that I know in Cleveland. I'm from Central Ohio and was very invested in the Browns growing up as well. But they feel like that Deshaun Watson, how do I put this? Deshaun Watson doesn't necessarily love winning enough. He's not one of those guys that comes in and wants to compete and dominate. He kind of got his money. He found a team that would take him in a matter of words, and the Browns did. And it hasn't gone well so far. And there's a lot of questions still around him, but to your point, that defense feels like it's worth 6 or 7 wins. We saw it last year, who they are. They love to run the ball. They're so good at running the ball. My goodness. It feels like at times the Browns line up 15 guys. You're like, where do these extra guys come from? And they just, you know, they just run it and they're going to run it right down your throat. There's nothing you can do about it. And they're going to play defense and try to win 13-10. So yeah.
And even without Nick Chubb, he went down and they're still able to run the ball.
Didn't matter. So nothing mattered for the Browns last year outside of what their defense is. So I think it's the same for them. And then I think what I really think the division comes down to, because I think the Browns and Steelers are 9-8, 10-7, somewhere in there. Maybe the Browns a little better. I'm not sure. But then it comes down to, okay, who's going to win the division? One team is going to have something happen and go wrong and they're going to get last. It's going to happen. Someone has to finish last. But is Lamar Jackson able to play at that MVP level still? What does it look like with Derrick Henry? How does that all blend and mix? And they had a lot of staffing changes as well. So how does it look for the Ravens this year? And are the Bengals able to come back to being the Bengals that won the division title back-to-back years? If Joe Burrow is healthy, he has proven that he is, if you watch the show, he is the danger. You know, if you go back to Breaking Bad, right? Like he is the danger in the AFC North when he's healthy. So
definitely,
I think that's still the standard. The Ravens were great last year. The Ravens made it to the AFC title game and decided, well, let's not be a team that runs first anymore. And that didn't work out too well for them. They panicked. So I think a lot of it's going to be the same in the AFC North. But I do think that the Bengals are still the team to be reckoned with if Joe Burrow is healthy. But it's going to be wild. It's going to be a wild ride. And I don't think it's going to be figured out until the final 15, 16, you know, week 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I think that same for NFC North. I mean, everyone's going back and forth of what this division could look like. If Caleb's anywhere close to what people are saying, they can be obviously a 9-10 win team. And then you talk about Jordan Love's season last year, and people are expecting that to just get better. And so the Packers are always in it. And then the Detroit Lions, the seasons they've had recently. I think the biggest question is maybe the Vikings. But I think that everything the Vikings do have when it comes to Jordan Jefferson and Addison and all of the weapons that they have, they can still possibly be that team to where they're still winning 8-9 games too. So the NFC North is similar. And so there's it's like you said, one thing, somebody has to be last, and one thing is going to happen for it to kind of lead that way. So last one before I let you go, when you look at this weekend, you starters are not playing on Cincinnati's side of the ball, but are there a couple guys that maybe we can keep an eye out for that's been maybe the stars of camp that were unexpected, some battles, anything like that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of intrigue in Cincinnati. A lot. As many a lots as I can say around Jermaine Burton, one of the top players that they drafted this year, who dropped a little bit because of some of those character issues. He transferred a lot, you know, spent time in college at Alabama and Georgia. He transferred several times in high school. He's been one of those guys that has just been a bit difficult to deal with wherever he's been. But the Bengals saw him as an explosive wide receiver, a guy who could really be a nice complement eventually to the best that they have, whether it be Jamar Chase and T. Higgins this year, or even down the line, just to Jamar Chase. So we'll see. But Jermaine Burton, there's been a lot of excitement around him. He had a touchdown in the preseason opener in the fourth quarter for the Bengals, playing with a bunch of backups. He hasn't even cracked really that second squad yet, right? He's still in the third tier. So how does it look against the Bears on Saturday? When he comes in, I'm guessing against a lot of backups. I'm not sure when he's going to get in the game. Bengals fans want to see him right away. But he's one of those guys that Bengals fans want to see on the field sooner than later. And he's shown the ability to potentially be a great. I mean, Zach, a great player. Zach Taylor, when they got him, because they didn't think he dropped to where he was, you know, slams the table and is losing his mind. Like, Zach doesn't do that. Zach was that excited about Jermaine Burton. But again, it's the character stuff. Joe Burrow kind of implied after the first preseason game that Jermaine, if he wants to get closer to the first team, at least the second team reps, he needs to get his head in the playbook a little more. So we'll see how that development comes and goes with and grows with Jermaine Burton. The other main thing to watch is that I already mentioned this a little bit, is the only starters that are really going to play for the Bengals are the two corners battling for one spot. That's Dax Hill in his second year, a first-round pick, and DJ Turner, who was Dax Hill's in his third year now. Gosh, time flies.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then DJ Turner, who was a second-round pick last year. So you've got Dax Hill and DJ Turner battling at corner for that other starting spot. They're both expected to play. Don't know how much, but those are a couple of names I would drop your way.
All right. I will keep an eye on that. And obviously the Zach Taylor being excited, pounding the table. That was me when Rome Odunze fell to the Bears. I've told this story a million times on my podcast because I was so out of it since like February. I was like, I want Rome Odunze. And this is before, you know, Justin's still on the team, whatever's going on. I was like, get me Rome. I don't care what else. And people are like, you're crazy. There's Marvin Harrison Jr. and there's Malik Nabers. I was like, I don't care. I want Rome Odunze. So on draft day, when Atlanta said Michael Penix, my heart just completely dropped. I was like, this is about to happen. This is insane. I'm a big Rome fan here. But Jeremy, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I know Bears fans appreciate your positive words because there's been a lot of negative words towards the Bears in the last few years. So it's fun to kind of start getting this and other people noticing, you know, the hard work that Ryan Poles has put into kind of rebuilding this roster and getting some of these things done. So I appreciate you hopping on with me.
I feel like I'm carrying the torch for Bears fans right now. I hope it lasts all season long. I hope it's not just a blip, but I do think good things are ahead, and good luck to your Bears.
Thanks so much. Have a good one. And good luck to Joe Burrow staying healthy.
Thanks.
Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.